Do you take a seat? Hopefully you've got a seat. We're overly full this morning. It's great to see so many people here together this morning. This is what we've come to celebrate this morning, the message of the Easter story. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. I said a few minutes ago at the beginning of the service, this is one of my favourite Sundays. I love it. Resurrection Sunday. And you'll see why as we go through our service together this morning. At the very centre of the Easter message is what we have in front of us this morning. Sam, I'm going to need your help here for a minute. This is far too heavy for me. But if you pick up nothing else this morning, I want you to see that the cross is at the very centre of the Easter story. Everything that we're going to be talking about, everything that happened on Easter Sunday happened because of Jesus death on the cross. And we're going to be thinking about these three little phrases this morning. We're going to be starting by thinking about the fact that Christ has died. Really important part of the Easter story. We're going to read it out loud together so that we can all be involved. Here it is on the screen. Let's read it. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until about 3 o'clock. And the light from the sun was gone. And suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. Now, we don't want a low battery, do we? So let's sort that out, shall we? Oof. So the last thing we want is a low battery on Easter Sunday morning. There we go. Christ has died. Now, how many of our children, I wonder, remember this story we told at the beginning of the year? Miss Thomas's class. Some of you remember that? This is the class photograph that she had taken at the end of term, and this was the class that she really loved. And she loved this class so much that she said, "I'm going to put on a really big party for my class." So here's the party. It looks really good. Lots of food, lots of drink, presents for all of the children. And here they are, having their class photograph taken, looking like angelic beings, as if they would do nothing wrong. Then, of course, well, if you remember the story, you'll know what happened next. So Miss Thomas got a phone call. Well, the teachers came into the classroom and she said, "You're needed back in the office. You need to come out of the class for just a few minutes." And she left the class, and she and all the children behaved like most of you behaved if your teacher went out of class. Huh? You'd all be really quiet, wouldn't you? No? No. You'd all be like little angels and you'd just be really quiet. No. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened in this story. It all went very wrong. People started throwing rubbish all over the floor. Somebody else was having a piggyback race across the middle of the classroom. Somebody else was throwing paper darts. Somebody else was spilling ink everywhere. It really was absolute mayhem. They all disobeyed Miss Thomas. And then what happened next? Miss Thomas comes into the class and everybody froze where they were. They got caught out, didn't they? Somebody was crying because the noise was so loud that they really didn't like all the noise that was going on in the classrooms. Now, what do you think happened next? Do you think Miss Thomas said to the children, "Do you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you made a mess of the classroom. It doesn't matter that you misbehaved. You can all just come to the party anyway." Do you think she said that to her?
No.
What do you think Miss Thomas might have said? What do you think? Shout it out for me. "You're in trouble." Yes, that would probably be a better answer, wouldn't it? "You're in trouble." You've obviously seen that happen in your school, perhaps, haven't you, if your teacher's gone out of the room. So there's this big party that's going to take place, and Miss Thomas is saying to her children, "You're in trouble because you've done something wrong." What do you think the children would need to say to Miss Thomas if they wanted to go to the party? Yep. "I'll never do it again." Yes, that's a good start. There's another word I'm thinking of when we do things that are wrong. Yes, Charlotte?
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, that's a really important word. Sorry. Now, here's another kind of party that's going on. When Jesus was here, he often talked about parties. He talked about himself as being the bridegroom sometimes. And he talked about people having a friendship with God. It was about like having an amazing party. And every time somebody came to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, there's a party that takes place in heaven. And this invitation to God's party is for absolutely everybody. No one is excluded. We have to say that we want to be involved. We have to say that we want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's a problem, a bit like the classroom problem. Now look at this picture. There's a picture of our world. Doesn't it look lovely? Huh? What's wrong with that picture? What can you see in there? You're going to help me again, are you? You're my little prompter this morning, aren't you? What's wrong with that picture? No real people in it. Okay, all right. Yep. And it looks pretty messy, doesn't it? In fact, it's not a bad picture of our world. We have really made a big mess of our world, haven't we? Wars, people in our world who can't eat because there's not enough food being equally distributed. We've made a real mess of our world. And Jesus talked a lot about what happens when we've messed up. And in fact, we've messed up in other ways as well. Sometimes we don't mess up just in big ways, we mess up in small ways as well. Sometimes we say unkind things to people. Sometimes we see things that other people have and we say, I really want to have that. Or we say things that will hurt people, or we do things that we know are wrong. And the Bible calls those things sin. Not a word that we talk about very much today. And sin, God says, separates us from God. Now, we can't always see sin, so I need two volunteers who are going to become very simple in just a minute. Okay, Charlotte, okay, let's come on. Oh, come on up. Let's see if we can do it. You're right there, Sam, still, yeah? Good man. Okay, thank you. I'd kind of forgotten you were there, actually. Now, you see, here's the problem, all right? Come on up, Charlotte. Here's the problem. See, sometimes sin is on the inside of us. Jesus actually often used to say, he says, what's on the inside, actually, is what makes us unclean. If we could wear our sins on the outside, we wouldn't look too good, I don't think, would we? In fact, we wouldn't necessarily want people to come and talk to us. And I thought, well, we might sort of dress you up in with some sins this morning so that we can sort of see what it looks like. Because it really isn't very pretty, is it? There's all sorts of stuff on here. What have we got on here? Disobedience and greed and laziness. You're very sinful, aren't you? Goodness me. Laziness, pride, selfishness. Okay, not very nice looking. Now, let's see, Charlotte, if we can dress you up as well. You all right about this? We've got a head in here somewhere, haven't we? Somewhere. There we go. There we go. And here comes the head. There we are. Look at that. Wow. You don't look quite as pretty as you did a minute ago, do you? What have we got on here? Unkindness and rage. What else have we got? Stealing, arrogance. Goodness me, it really is quite messy looking, isn't it? But here's the great thing about the Easter story. This is what the Bible says to us. We've got problems with our computer this morning, have we? Looks like it's plugged in. Well, don't worry about this moment. I'm sure we can manage without it if we have to. But here's what the Bible says to us. It says to us that actually, let's see what we can do here. You can start playing at 7% battery lasts for a long time here. So this is what happens at the cross. It's as if God placed a huge rubbish bin at the foot of the cross and said, I died on the cross here so that you could be forgiven, so that all of this messy stuff in your life could be taken away and goes into the rubbish bin at the foot of the cross so that you can be forgiven and you can be made clean again. If you come to the cross and you say to Jesus, I'm really sorry for the wrong things that I've done. And that's why the cross is so important. That's why the cross is such an important part of the Easter story. Because through the cross, we get to be forgiven. And here's a wonderful promise from God. He says, I'm going to blot out your sins, and I will never think of them again. What an amazing opportunity we have at Easter to remind ourselves of the power of the cross to deal with all the messy stuff in our lives. And if we're truly sorry, we can bring our sins to the cross, and they can stay there. God takes them away. Thank you for helping me. I know you're not as bad as all those signs made out. There you are. You can go and have a little sit down, okay? So, let's have a think about the cross, shall we, as we sing our next song together. Our band are going to come and lead us. Sam, I'm going to help you with that in just a minute. We're going to stand and sing. We're going to hand out a sheet to our younger children so that they can have a look at the Easter story. Where's Joel? Joe's got a couple of people to help me. So for the younger children, we're going to hand out a little sheet this morning that you can take, which will help you to understand the Easter story. And Andrew, These guys will help you to do that. And why we do that, because we like to make things really complicated here, we're going to take our offering this morning. If you're a visitor, that's fine. This is just something that we do. It's an act of worship. We give our part of our giving is to give gifts to God. So we're going to do that. We're going to sing about the cross as we do all this. So we're going to stand and sing together on the Hill of Calvary, a new song that we've been learning. Thanks, guys. Say thank you to God for the gifts that we've given, Father. You've been so generous to us. You've given us so much. What a wonderful opportunity it is to come on Easter Sunday and to praise you, to worship you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given to us. We give them back to you and pray that you will use them in mighty and powerful ways. Amen. Well, our technology is actually given up now, so we're going to have to go manual, which is no harm this morning. Wally, will you come and help me for a minute? Anybody who catches my eye this morning is in real danger of getting involved here, okay? One of the great things, I'd like you just to hold that for me, Wally, if you wouldn't mind. The great things about the resurrection is that it talks about bringing new things. And resurrection is something which the Bible talks about. Sometimes we find it quite difficult to get our heads around it, because resurrection, we're not used to people coming back from the dead. It's an unusual thing for us to get our head around. But I was thinking about all of the stuff that we see this time of the year. I remember a few years ago someone gave me one of those amaryllis bulbs. I don't know if you've ever seen those. But they look awful. They look horrible. They look dead. And if you give it a little bit of water and some soil and you talk to it nicely, it turns into the most beautiful flower. So we are used to things that look dead and things that come alive again. Think about some of the daffodil bulbs that we've seen around. Think about the trees just bursting into leaf at the moment. All through the winter they look dead and then suddenly they come back to life again. Now I need some help here, because we're going to talk for a few minutes about some of the things that the resurrection does for us. You see, it's great to talk about the resurrection on Easter Sunday, but resurrection is actually something for us to experience. So I need a couple of volunteers. Any hands going up? Come on, Charlotte, you're very brave. Come on, you can help me as well, okay? We can work on this one first of all. I want you to hold this one for a minute, okay? One of the things that resurrection brings is new life. The Bible talks about when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we believe in his name, the Bible says that we have crossed over from death to life. We start to see things spiritually, things that we could never see before, because spiritually we were dead, but through trusting in Jesus' death on the cross, the Bible says to us, we actually come alive on the inside. So there's one of the important things that comes out of the resurrection. We become alive on the inside through trusting in Jesus Christ. So we're going to just pin this up here. Thank you very much. That's great. You can head back. So there we are. There's one of the really important things about the resurrection. Now, what have we got next here, Charlotte? Here we are. So hold that one up. Hope is something that we all need. Now, it seems, if you follow the Easter story, that when you get to Good Friday, it looks as if God has lost control of the story. Everything goes dark. Jesus is crucified. It looks as if God is no longer in control. And sometimes, when we look out across our world today, that's exactly what we think. We see all of the horrible things going on in Syria, some of the awful stories that we've been hearing. We hear about North Korea and the real threat of conflict coming out of North Korea. And we look around our world and we think it is absolutely hopeless. When it comes to the resurrection, we discover actually that through believing in Jesus who died on the cross, we can have real hope. The Bible talks about the fact that one day Jesus is going to hold accountable everything that has ever been done in our world. And the Bible verse says this to us. I haven't got it on the screen, so I can't show it to you. But it says to us that God has guaranteed that he is going to hold people accountable by raising Jesus from the dead. It's the resurrection that proves that Jesus is going to do that. So that gives us hope that even though we might not cannot work out what's going on now, we know that a time is coming when God is going to put everything right. And that comes through the cross. Okay, thanks, Charlotte. Let's pin that one up, shall we? Here we go. You can go and sit back down now. That's fantastic. Thank you. Let's hope. I need one more volunteer. Another volunteer coming up?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Right. You can hold this one here, okay? Hold that one up. What's that say?
Start.
Okay. This is one of the most exciting things about the resurrection. The Bible says to us That if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we believe in his death for us, that actually when we die, death is no longer the end for us, because Jesus has won the victory over death. So the verse of the Bible says this, that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And then it goes on to say he will do that because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. It's the resurrection that secures life after death. Now that's something very exciting, isn't it? It means that death is no longer the end of the story. We have a new start. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Let me pin that one up. You can head back to your seat. Okay, well, you're doing a great job here, I have to say. A great job. A new start. Who says we need technology? Look at that, eh? So far, so good. So here we are. Christ has died. Christ has risen. The cross is empty. And we're thinking about some of the things that become our experience if we trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. A new start, life after death, becoming alive spiritually, being woken up and seeing things in a new way because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. New hope, recognizing that what's going on in our world today will not always be like that because God has promised a day of accountability. And I don't know about you, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Oh, it's only me that's getting excited on Resurrection Sunday, is it? That's worth celebrating, isn't it? Yes, that's more like it. And if you're going to say yes the right way, next time I ask the question, is this worth celebrating?
Yes.
Yes. That means we're going to celebrate because we have an Easter egg for everybody this morning. Whoa. We don't hold back at Croftland Baptist Church. It struck me that there may well be some people in church this morning who will not receive an Easter egg. We are part of a church family. We want to make sure that everybody, and I hope we can do this because we've got a lot of extra people here today, go away with an Easter egg. We've got a special one that says on it, Christ has risen. I want you to take that. Enjoy it, okay? Not come to the end of our service. We're going to give out an Easter egg in the middle of the service this year, okay? So we've got a few more helpers that are going to help us to do that. And we're going to stand. I'm going to sing about the fact that Jesus is alive. We thought about Jesus' death. We thought about the fact that he's alive. And we're going to stand together and sing, Come, people of the risen King. As we do that, we're going to hand out some Easter eggs. And hopefully, you will all get an Easter egg to take away with you today. So come on, guys. Let's get our music going. Let's stand, shall we? Where's my volunteers again? Volunteers for our Easter eggs. Let's stand. Let's sing together. Well, please be seated. I hope most of you have got an Easter egg. If you haven't, you will probably get one soon. We're back on. We've got our technology up again. Thank you, Charlie. We're thinking this morning about the Easter story, which we summarized in these three words that are on the screen. Let's say them out loud together. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. That's the last part of the story. We thought about the cross. Christ has died. We thought about the fact that the cross is empty. Christ has risen. Now we want to come back to the cross. I need another volunteer to hold the cross. Who's going to hold the cross for me? Andrew, will you give me a hand for a second? That would be really helpful. Because what we want to do now is we want to see how the cross fits into this last part of the story. Because this talks about Jesus dying, talks about Jesus rising again, but it also talks about Jesus coming again. That's an important part of the Easter story. Let's read these words together out loud, shall we? After saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. Well, there you are. Christ will come again. And I wanted us to see this morning how that fits into the big story that we've been looking at. In our church here, since Christmas, we've been doing something called God's Big Story. With the children, with our young people, and as adults, we've been looking at how God's big story is told in the Bible. And I want to show you in a few minutes this morning how the cross fits into the very center of that story as we come to think about the return of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to need a lot more help here this morning. I need a couple more adults. So, Nigel? Dave? That's what happens when people are fairly close to where I'm standing. Wouldn't mind just grabbing this as we just undo it a bit. If you go right out to the back where the organ is, that'd be helpful. Just let it fall and it'll go nicely. That's it. That's the easy way to do it. Okay, Nigel, will you come down this end for me? We'll try not to choke Andrew, in the meantime, so you just keep going that way. Keep going. That's fine. And we'll loop that around there. It's the cross at the centre of the story. And Nigel, you could hold that. Guys, you can just hold it sort of fairly high like that for me. That'd be really helpful. Right. Now, we need some volunteers to help me. You can come back and help me up. You come then. We're going to do the easy bit of the story first, okay? So, which bit of the story do you think this is? Which bit of the story do you think this might be? It's a stone. That's a clue. What part of the story might that be? The tomb. That's right. Jesus' resurrection, all right? So, do you think we could pin that up here? If we let these guys drop the string a little bit, that might be more helpful, wouldn't it? So, okay. Do you want to just pin this on for me? Take that on there. So, let's see if we can make that stick. That's it. Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, we're going to do the easy bits first. Which bit do you think this is now? What do you think that's all about?
Jesus being born.
Okay, so that goes on the other side of the cross. Do you want to come over here then? And we'll see if we can pin this up over here. You take the sheet, take a peg, okay? And see if you can peg that up over there for me. Whoops, it's not doing too good, is it? Let's try two pegs, shall we? See if we can make it stay up a little bit longer. There we go. So we might need two pegs, mightn't we, to make this work? Let's try it like this, shall we? There we go. That's great. Oh, we'll get there in the end. We'll get there in the end. Right, that's good. There we go. We will get there, won't we? Let's just fold it over, shall we? Got it. Right. Okay, that's the easy bit. Right. Now, it gets a little bit more tricky after this. We're going to go back to the beginning of the story. Now, it's on the screen. Let's just see now. Anybody know, okay, what this is, okay? What part of the story do you think this is? Adults? The?
Creation.
Okay, the beginning of the story, okay? I want you to take that right the way down to the end of the string, okay? There's a couple of pegs. And put that as far down there as you can. Dave will help you to do that. That's really good, okay? That's the beginning of the story. What about the next one? What do we think this is about? Which bit is this of the story? What happens after creation? The fall. Okay, well done. Okay, the fall. So you take number two, you go down the far end, a couple of pegs for you. Okay, you go down to Dave, okay, and he'll show you where that goes. That's number two. Are you ready? Excellent, brilliant. Number three, okay. This is a real test to see how much we've been learning, isn't it, since the beginning of the year. What part of the story do you think this might be? Yes? Creation of men and women. It's a little bit further on in the story. The rainbow. Noah's story. And the ark. Yes. After. That's right. God's promise to Abraham as well. So that's number three. So you take that sheet. Okay. And you take those two pegs down there. Brilliant. Okay. All right. Thanks, Joe. That'd be really helpful. We'll keep putting the story together down there, okay? And we'll carry on. Number four, okay? Now, pyramids. It's kind of the next clue of the story. What's the pyramid story about? Yes? Who's going to tell me? Exodus. That's right. Exodus. Here we go. Number four. So you put that into the story. And you get a couple of pegs as well. Brilliant. Excellent. Very good. Right. Number five. Which part of the story do you think this is? Into the land, the promised land. That's right, somebody said that. Number five, promised land. Okay, Charlotte, thank you. Number five. And Joe's helping you down there, okay? A couple of pegs. All right, number five. Okay, now it gets a little bit easier because we're getting closer to the cross again. So number six, what do we think this bit is? The cross. Yeah, that's not it's never going to make out, is it? The cross. So we're back at the cross. So, number six, I'll put this one on here, because that's going to go about there. All right, so we're back at the cross. And we've read about this a few minutes ago. The last part of the story. Which bit of the story do you think this is about? Yes? Jesus rising from heaven. It's a little bit further on in the story. You're right, Jesus goes back to heaven. That's what we're reading about. What happens next in the story? Jesus will come again. That's right. Jesus will come again. So, Nigel, looks like it's just you and me at this stage, okay? So we'll do this one here. We've got one more peg. There we go. So, we are putting the story together, aren't we? So, here's the story we've been following since the very beginning of the year. We've been talking about the creation of the world. We're talking about Adam and Eve sinning against God. We're talking about the blessing, the promise, number three, that God gives to Abraham. God's people going to exile, number four. God's promise of the land, number five. All pointing forward to the birth of Jesus, and then to his death, and then to his resurrection, and then Jesus says, I am going to return again. It's a story which begins on earth, and it ends on earth, because the Bible talks about new creation. Christ will come again. It's a really important part of the story. We've been thinking about new life, new hope, new start, things that come to us through the resurrection of Jesus, but there's something else really important, because the cross secures our place in God's new creation. This is what the Bible says to us. There's a timing coming, end of the story, and God says, I'm going to make everything new. There's going to be no more crying, or mourning, or pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. What an amazing promise. That's where we're heading to in this story. That's what this is all about. And all right, at the center of everything is the cross, because the Bible says to us that through the cross, our place in God's new creation is secured. Everything comes to us through the cross. That's why the cross is at the very center of the Easter story. New life, new hope, new start, new creation. Guys, you're doing a great job. We're almost there. So here's the Easter story. Let's read it out loud again together. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And here's an important part of this morning. Our lives will only ever really make sense in the context of God's big story. The way that we get to know who God is by coming to the cross. Remember the rubbish bin? All the mess and the stuff in our lives. And we say, God, I really want to have a new life with you. Clean me up so I can start over again. Our sins go in the rubbish bin and God remembers them no more. So that's the great story we've been celebrating this Easter Sunday. Guys, I'll let you down because your hands are going to fall in just a minute, aren't they? You can't do it much longer. You can't drum anymore. Oh dear. Oh dear. That's what you said, Nigel, not me. Okay. We're going to watch one final video clip as we come towards the end of our service this morning that puts this story together. It helps us to see just how powerful the cross really is when it comes to being forgiven and set free and given a new opportunity to start over again. Thank you. great demonstration of the power of the cross, where God says, you can be completely forgiven. You can have the slate completely wiped clean. I will remember your sins no more. That's a little glimpse of the power of the cross that we're celebrating on this Easter Sunday morning together. We're going to sing two songs as we conclude this morning, which bring together Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Firstly, Man of Sorrows, as we think about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then there is a higher throne as we think about the new creation. Christ will come again. So let's stand, shall we, as we sing together. And let's celebrate and let's reflect on what we've been learning.